All right. Good morning, everybody. I'm Pastor Gillespie from St. John Evangelical Lutheran Church and School, Sherman Center, Random Lake, Wisconsin. Good to have you with us here today for our Congregation of Prayer, a guide for daily meditation and prayer around God's Word. It is March 23rd, 2021. Continue our catechesis now from the Gospel according to St. John. We'll hear Palm Sunday reading, which of course we'll hear again on Sunday, but you will be quite well prepared to hear that word, having studied it together. All right, so that's the point. That's what we're doing here. Let me get our devotion up on the screen. Good. Let's begin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. All right, we say our memory verse together. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. Luke 11, verse 28. Just a little catechesis here on this, on our memory verse. The word for keep it, sometimes you'll see in English translations that word translated as obey it, which is not really what's going on there. To keep is actually to hold fast to or to treasure. This is the same word that's used translated as Mary pondered these things and stored them up in her heart. Okay, so it's the same word. In Greek, it's tereo is the root. And it's to keep it near to your heart. Think of the Old Testament instruction to take the word of God and write it upon the doorposts and the lintels and to affix it to your forehead and to pray God's word day and night. That's what's going on here, is to have God's word at hand in prayer all day, every day. Our psalm this week is Psalm 110. We pray it together. The Lord says to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. The Lord sends forth from Zion your mighty scepter. Rule in the midst of your enemies. Your people will offer themselves freely on the day of your power in holy garments. From the womb of the morning, the dew of your youth will be yours. The Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. The Lord is at your right hand. He will shatter kings on the day of his wrath. He will execute judgment among the nations, filling them with corpses. He will shatter chiefs over the wide earth. He will drink from the brook by the way, therefore he will lift up his head. Our first reading today, which will help us in understanding our reading for catechesis, is from Psalm 118. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Let Israel now say, his mercy endures forever. Let the house of Aaron say, his mercy endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord say, his mercy endures forever. I called on the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a broad place. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? The Lord is for me among those who help me. Therefore I see my desire on those who hate me. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. All nations surrounded me, but in the name of the Lord I destroyed them. I will destroy them. They surrounded me, yes, they surrounded me, but in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. They surrounded me like bees. They were quenched like a fire of thorns. For in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. You pushed me violently, that I might fall, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. The voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. The Lord has chastened me severely, but he has not given me over to death. Open to me the gates of righteousness, and I will go through them, and I will praise the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord, through which the righteous shall enter. All right. Thinking of the king of Salem, of Jerusalem, was Melchizedek, which Abraham meant in the Old Testament, which means king of righteousness, right? So you have the king of righteousness in the city of peace, Salem, and now we're talking about the Lord entering through the gates of righteousness. Uh-huh. So our reading for catechesis then is from John chapter 12. The next day, a great multitude that had come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him and cried out, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel." Then Jesus, when he had found a young donkey, sat on it, as it is written, "Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt." His disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things were written about him, and that they had done these things to him. Therefore, the people who were with him when he called Lazarus out of his tomb and raised him from the dead bore witness. For this reason, the people also met him, because they heard that he had done this sign. The Pharisees, therefore, said among themselves, "You see that you are accomplishing nothing. Look, the world has gone after him." Now, there were certain Greeks among those who came up to worship at the feast. Then they came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida of Galilee, and asked him, saying, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip came and told Andrew, and in turn Andrew and Philip told Jesus. But Jesus answered them, saying, "The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. He who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, let him follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor." All right, I got a little cut off there. All right, there we go. So, some catechesis on the text here. What did the multitude in Jerusalem do when they heard Jesus coming? See it right here in verse 13. They took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him. Why were they in Jerusalem? It tells you right there in verse 12, for the feast, and which feast is being referred to here? Of course, the feast of the Passover, right? What were they singing? This is quite good here. "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel." What does Hosanna mean? Maybe you learned this in Sunday school or in catechesis with your pastor. It means save now. Save now. Which tells us, of course, what psalm they were singing, which was Psalm 118, you see it right here. "I called on the Lord in my distress, and he answered me and set me in a broad place." Right? "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord." All right. And we just read part of it. Of course, the whole context, maybe we ask it this way. What's the significance of Psalm 118? Of course, it is the feast. So as you might guess, this is one of the psalms appointed for the Feast of Passover, right? But the whole psalm points to Jesus being the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. So we're connecting, John is connecting us back to the proclamation of John the Baptist, I should say at the beginning, back in chapter 1 of St. John's Gospel. We didn't read the next part, which is cool too, though. "The stone which the builders rejected," verse 22, "has become the chief cornerstone." Yeah, that will come up now. Here it is. "Hosanna, I pray, O Lord." Verse 25. "O Lord, I pray, send now prosperity. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." All right. So we didn't read the whole psalm, but the rest of it has the Hosanna part. There we go. So the whole context of Psalm 118 then is confessing course, with the gates being opened of righteousness, that Jesus is the resurrection and the life. He is salvation, and he is now entering in to deliver, right? I shall not die, but live and declare the words of the Lord. There's the resurrection right there in the psalm. Okay. Of course, we sing these words, Psalm 118, in part, connected with Isaiah 6 in the Sanctus, the holy, 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 right? Before the words of institution. As Jesus enters in, again, for us on our Palm Sunday, that's every Sunday at the Lord's table. So we are actually confessing then that Christ is coming in lowly elements of bread and wine to save us through the eating and drinking, so that we, just like these people confessed, will not die, but shall live and declare the words of the Lord. All right. Why does Jesus ride in on a young donkey? John tells us here with the quotation, "Fear not, daughter of Zion." This is from Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. All right. So fulfilling a prophecy. Of course, there's a symbolism on top of this, right? And John gives us a hint that we should think about what this represents because of verse 16, right? His disciples did not understand these events. So he wants us to think, what was being confessed by what Jesus was doing, by his actions, right? Not just by his words, but by his actions. Just like we confess not only with our mouths, but with our bodies, with our actions. All right, here you want to think of the Son of David, not Jesus, the Son of David, but rather the next born king, which would have been King Solomon, right? In 1 Kings 1, the king said to them, "Take with you your servants of your Lord, and have Solomon my son ride on my own mule or donkey, and take him down to Gihon. There let Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet anoint him king over Israel, and blow the horn and say, 'Long live King Solomon.'" And of course, he would ride back into the city on that same donkey. And so, what is this pointing to Jesus being? That's right, the true Son of David, who must ride our stubborn flesh to bring us through the gates of heaven. That's one way to think of it anyway. Who's the daughter of Zion? Behold, or fear not, daughter of Zion. Who is that? Well, that's the church, of course. And like I said, the disciples, do they understand these events? No, they do not. They will understand them later, but how? John doesn't tell us, but we can, I think, import the witness of St. Luke from, like, say, Luke 24 and then Acts chapter 2. They understand, and we see them understanding in the way that they preach the gospel in light of the scriptures, that is the Old Testament. It's all through the gift of the Holy Spirit who's poured out upon them in Jesus, after promised at Jesus' ascension and then given at Pentecost. Right? It's the same way that we come to understand the scriptures. It's not by our own efforts or strength, it's rather by the work of the Holy Spirit working through our study. What odd confession do the Pharisees make there in verse 19? The Pharisees therefore said among themselves, "You see that you are accomplishing nothing. Look, the world has gone out after him." Right? So what's the connection between that and then what we see in verse 20? Certain Greeks who came to worship at the feast. Right? So we have not just Jews, but Greeks coming. Yes, for the feast, but ultimately then for Jesus, right? Because they come seeking Jesus. And of course, that's because he came for the whole world, not just for the Jews. Why were these Greeks at the feast? Of course, yeah, they had been converted to Judaism. Which apostle helped the Greeks here? See in verse 21, Philip, right? How had Philip been called? And then whom did he call? This was back in John chapter 1. So John wants you to have in mind that story. Jesus called Philip by saying, "Follow me." And then Philip found Nathanael, right? And we have the same thing here. We have people coming to Philip and saying, "Where's Jesus?" It's the inverse of this. And then Philip goes and finds Andrew, and they in turn find Jesus. This is a beautiful, what do you want to say, bookend to John chapter 1, verse 43 and following. There's other accounts in the Gospels, in John's Gospel in particular, regarding Andrew and Philip that should be worth considering. We had Andrew finding his brother Simon and telling him, "We have found the Messiah," and brought him to Jesus. That's in John 1 later on. When Jesus fed the 5,000, Philip explained that they didn't have enough bread. And then Andrew is the one who found the boy with the 5 barley loaves and the 2 small fish. That's John 6. And then in John 14, Philip asked to be shown the way to the Father. All right. What was the hour when Jesus was glorified? He talks about that. The hour has come. The time has come. That's the hour of his death and his resurrection, of course. All right. Then who is the kernel of wheat that must fall to the ground and die? Jesus, that's right. What does he mean here in verse 25? Maybe this is a little opaque to you. He who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it to eternal life. Yeah, to love life now, to love this life more than the life that Christ gives, is to lose it. So it's another kind of idolatry, right? It's to love one's life more than the life that Christ gives. So where must we follow Jesus? We follow him wherever he goes, but namely, in the way of the cross, that is, in his suffering and death, right? And so we share in that suffering and death. But of course, we share in his resurrection then too. All right, meditation on this text. We gather in worship as repentant sinners because we would see Jesus just as the Greeks. In the feast of Christ's body and blood, we see him in the bread and wine of the altar. He is truly present, giving us to eat of his body and drink of his blood. He unites us to himself as his own people in the Holy Communion through the forgiveness of sins. There we join with people of many nations in confessing our common faith in Jesus Christ. The kernel of wheat has fallen to the ground and has raised up a rich harvest in the church. Here at the altar, God kills our sinful flesh and then honors us with the peace of the forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. All right, we confess the table of duties, what hearers are their pastors. We ask you, brothers, to respect those who work hard among you, who are over you in the Lord and who admonish you. Hold them in highest regard and love because of their work. Live in peace with each other. 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 12 through 13. Obey your leaders and submit to their authority. They keep watch over you as men who must give an account. Obey them so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no advantage to you. Hebrews 13, verse 17. We pray. O Lord Jesus, we give thanks to you for the gift of pastors who preach your saving gospel and administer your life-giving sacraments to us. Crucify our flesh and destroy all impenitence and unbelief in us, so that we who have received faithful instruction in the Word of God might provide generously for the support of our pastors. Teach us to believe that our pastors who faithfully sow the seed and tread out the grain of your Word are worthy of their wages and are entitled to reap from what they have sown. Teach us to believe that preaching and teaching your word is the most important work that our pastors do, so that we might honor and support them in this work, live together with them in the peace of your forgiveness, and hold them in the highest regard and love for the sake of the gospel. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. On this Tuesday, we pray for deliverance against temptation and evil, for the addicted and despairing, for the tortured and oppressed, and for those struggling with sin. We pray the Lord put an end to all schisms and causes of offense, that he bring into the way of truth all who have erred and are deceived, that he beat down Satan under our feet, that he send faithful laborers into his harvest, that he accompany his word with his grace and spirit, that he forgive our enemies, persecutors, slanderers, and turn their hearts, that he give and preserve for our use the kindly fruits of the earth. On this March 23rd, we pray in thanksgiving with Justin, who celebrates his birthday. Pray in thanksgiving with John and Amanda, who rejoice in the healing the Lord has given them. Pray for those who continue to be ill in need of treatment or recovery. Tristan, Marcella, Kelsey, Timothy, Sandy, Linda, Ken, and Aaron, and our teacher, Penny. Pray for our homebound, Bev, David, Willis, and Janice, and Mickey. The mission and mercy work of the church, especially Camp Luisimo and Pastor Bloss. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Almighty God, by your great goodness, mercifully look upon your people, that we may be governed and preserved evermore in body and soul. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. I thank you, my heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have kept me this night from all harm and danger, and I pray that you would keep me this day also from sin and every evil, that all my doings and life may please you. For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul, and all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the evil foe may have no power over me. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. All right, we sing our hymn for this week. My song is Love Unknown.
But mine, where in the hidden? might I stay and sing, Dost Ordis our divine. Never was loved a king, never was grieved like thine. This is my friend, it was sweet praise, my whole might is good gladly spent.
All right, it's so good to have you all here for our Congregation of Prayer today, March 23rd, 2021. Apologies to those of you on Facebook. It sounds like there might have been a few glitches there, but so it goes. Can't predict these things. Has to do with our internet service, I suppose, and maybe other things. So, Lord be with you all. Today being Tuesday, that's it for today. You can join us again tomorrow at 9 a.m. for our Congregation of Prayer. See you then.